I want to share a brief testimony with you today before we get into our message, and it's about our message last week. So being a pastor is very, very difficult because all eyes are on you with every administrative decision and with every single message, and especially when we preach messages on righteousness by faith. I know that some Adventists have never heard that message, and it is very difficult for them to trust implicitly on the Lord for their salvation. You know, this week I got a message from a dear saint who said to me, they were in attendance at last week's Sabbath service, when we preached a sermon on Matthew chapter 22, Jesus Christ's parable of the wedding garment. And that dear saint said to me, "Shane, I appreciate your try on Sabbath, but you were guessing. Shane, I want you to know that the robe described in Matthew chapter 22 is our character that we form in the judgment." Well, friends, you may disagree with pastor's conclusions, and I completely respect that, but I want you to know that your pastor does his homework. Amen? This is Christ's Object Lessons, and in Ellen White's writings, she speaks about this particular parable. And for those of you who were here last Sabbath, you'll know and recall that I had no less than 20 slides, quotations from Ellen White expressing to us explicitly what that robe was. And again, even if you disagree with the conclusion, you know that the homework was done. But I'll show you what happens in our church and in our denomination with proof texting and a poor hermeneutic, that is how we interpret the Bible and the writings of Ellen White. So here in the first page of Christ's Object Lessons, where Ellen White talks about without a wedding garment, and she talks about Matthew chapter 22, she says this is the opening sentence. She says, "The parable of the wedding garment opens before us a lesson of the highest consequence. By the marriage is represented the union of humanity with divinity." And then she says this, pay attention. She says, "The wedding garment represents the character which all must possess who shall be accounted fit guests for the wedding." So here's what happens. We read Ellen White, we see that, and then we stop reading. And we pull that text out of the whole chapter, and we say, "There it is, Pastor Shane, there's the answer. The wedding garment is the character that we have to have in the wedding." But as we read, and I've told you, not only Paul, but Ellen White, they build a case like a lawyer. They're leading you to something when they make statements such as these. And on page 310, Ellen White describes what the character is. She says this on page 310. She says, "By the wedding garment in the parable is represented the pure, spotless character which Christ's true followers will possess." She then says at the end of that paragraph, "It is the righteousness of Christ, His own unblemished character, that through faith is imparted to all who receive Him as their personal Savior." Friends of mine, it is all about Jesus. Can you say amen? Amen? And I am not guessing. You need to read her works and read them from beginning to end. Read her major works, and the theme of her works is righteousness by faith and salvation through Christ alone. Amen? If we are wrong that salvation is not by grace through faith alone, then Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation is all awash, and we need to go back to the Catholic Church, because that's what the Pope teaches. We are saved by faith and works. Are you with me today? Our denomination is built on the foundation of the Protestant Reformation, and we stand fast in our faith in Jesus. Can you say amen today? Friends of mine, we can trust in Jesus, we can trust in the Bible, we can trust in Ellen White's writings, but we have to be careful how we interpret this word, and we have to see the big picture, not just pull certain things out of context. If you're with me today, please say amen. Amen. All right, so our wizards in the back have gotten the graphics up, and we need to get the Holy Spirit to be here and to bless us today, so let's pray. Father God in heaven, we love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for this holiday weekend and this Holy Sabbath, more importantly, where we can rest and rejoice in what Jesus has done for us. We cling to you today, Jesus, especially the speaker, needing your robe of righteousness to cover his faults, his infirmities, his iniquities, his transgressions, all that he is, may it be hid in Christ. And Jesus, speak to us today that we can hear your words, that they can feed our souls, transform our lives, and make us look more like you. Please bless us today. Bless the words of life that are about to be open, that they might give us life and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Chandler Church, I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. And even if the holiday didn't quite turn out as you wished it, one thing I can be quite confident in is that the food was pretty good. Can you say amen today? You see, for someone who has had the privilege to serve in the Chandler Seventh-day Adventist Church, one thing I know is that you all can really cook. Amen? In fact, someday at the great wedding feast in heaven, I am persuaded that there will be a bountiful spread, and I would not be surprised if the sidebar there would be comprised of a Chandler SDA potluck. I wouldn't be in awe if at that great wedding feast I could find Henrietta Iseman's poncets, Lindy Jackson's vegetable lasagna, Tracy Creeley's eggplant parmesan, and Robbie Taylor's cookies. Ladies, you can bake till your face falls off. You can't fade Robbie. He's just got it. I'm telling you, he is so good. Those cookies are amazing. But I've noticed something about all of you amazing cooks here in the Chandler Church that have been gracious enough not only to break bread, but to make bread and share it with your pastor. For all of you have been so gracious to share that wonderful food, you're not as willing to share the recipe. Now, I won't hold that against you, because it may be perhaps that me as a pastor and we as theological gatekeepers of this denomination, we may have given you a greater disservice by doing a similar thing with God's Word. To help you understand what I mean today, I'd like to take you in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 30 and 31. And today, as we go in our Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 30 and 31, we're going to find the Lord Jesus Christ giving us the recipe for not only eternal, but abundant life in the here and now. John chapter 6, verse 30 and 31. I'll be reading from the New King James Version today. And if your Bible is like my Bible, we see here that this is taking place in the midst of a narrative where Jesus just finished feeding the multitudes. John chapter 30, verse 30 and 31. When you're all there, beloved, please say amen. John chapter 30 and verse 31. We see here that the multitudes say to Jesus, "What sign, Jesus, will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work is it, Jesus, that you are going to do? For our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he," meaning Moses, "gave them bread from heaven to eat." Can you say amen today? Now, Chandler Church, as this narrative is taking place, Jesus has just finished working a miracle and feeding the multitudes. And in order that the multitudes might receive another miracle, the multitudes asked the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, verse 29, what work they can do to receive this heavenly manna or bread once again. Jesus then speaks back to the multitudes, and he replies by saying, "The work of God is this, for you to believe on me." Can you say amen? But after Jesus challenges the multitudes to do this one work, simply believe and trust on him, the multitudes challenge Jesus Christ back with these verses in John chapter 6, verse 30 and 31. The multitudes, in effect, say, Jesus, you're asking us to believe in you, but Moses made bread rain from heaven. You simply multiplied what was in the baskets. Why, Jesus, should we trust in you? Now, Chandler Church, instead of giving the multitude evidence of his divinity by making bread rain once again, Jesus proceeds to do something amazing, and he does this. He gives them the recipe. And here's the recipe as we continue. Jesus tells us in John chapter 6, verse 32, "Truly, truly I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the manna, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." John 6, 33, Jesus goes on to say, "For the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, that is the bread of God." And then in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says this. Read it with me, everyone. Jesus said to them, read it with me, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Can you say amen today? Now, some of you may know and have heard that there is an old Chinese proverb that says, "Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime." Can you say amen? Here we see, beloved, in this amazing discourse between Jesus and the multitudes he just fed, Jesus giving to them the recipe so that they can bake for eternity. Can you say amen today? But I would submit to you today that in our pulpits, much of this recipe is missing and is absent. You see, we do something as pastors when we preach, teachers when we preach, evangelists when we preach, missionaries when we preach. We give people bread. We tell them the things that we know that may be true. We elucidate to them our prophetic interpretations. And we tell them things like, "The office of the papacy is the Antichrist." Or we say things like, "Sunday laws are coming." Or perhaps even we tell them, "We have to be careful for martial law." Sometimes we teach them the doctrines of Scripture, which is helpful of putting the whole picture together. And we'll tell people, "The seventh day is the Sabbath." And it's true, amen? We teach people, "When you die, you don't go straight to heaven. You sleep peacefully in the grave until Jesus Christ comes again." Can you say amen? It's true. It's true. Sometimes we do evangelism and we package all the doctrines together and we put them together in a systematic theology, a complete narrative that helps people understand the worldview of the Bible and of Christianity. And it's true. But here's what I'll ask you all today. If today I sent you home from this service and I said to each and every one of you here today, "I want you to take this and this is the meal for your family for the rest of the week. Yea, even maybe the month or your Christian experience." How would you do? You see, beloved, bread is helpful, but we need to give people the recipe. Can you say amen today? We need to teach people to fish. We need to teach people the secret of spiritual success. And friends, when Jesus, in this verse, in John chapter 6, verse 35, is giving the recipe and teaching people the secret of spiritual success, when he says that he is the bread of life, he's paralleling something significant between himself and what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness, both before and after receiving the law. For those of you who know your Bibles, you know that after the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt into the wilderness, Jesus began to make bread rain upon those folks. Jesus sustained them and provided for them when there was no other way for them to survive in the desert. And then after Jesus had provided for them, at that time, God gave the law on Mount Sinai. God shared with them what it was he expected of all humanity. And after the law was received, they began to try and practice the law. But as they practiced the law in the desert, God continued to rain manna upon them, which was emblematic of his son. What we see, friends, here taking place is a delineation between, at Mount Sinai, what God demands and that which God provides. Can you say amen? And in that separation, we see that the Israelites were not sustained, they were not kept, they were not protected by their obedience to what God demanded, but they survived, stayed alive, and persevered based upon what God did on their behalf. You see, John, picking up on this understanding, he pronounces something so significant to us as Christians in John chapter 1, verse 17. John tells us this delineation. John says that in the wilderness, the law was given through who? Through Moses. But John says, grace and what's that second word? Truth came through who? Jesus Christ. So watch today, Chandler Church, what John is saying to us. John is saying that Jesus met with Moses in the mountain, and Jesus allowed for Moses to take the law and to bring it to the people. Jesus said, Moses, you can do that. I'm going to tell you what it is I want of them, and I want you to take it to them. But John now says, when it came to grace, and more importantly, when it came to truth, Moses couldn't do that. Isaiah couldn't do that. Jeremiah couldn't do that. Daniel couldn't do that. Pick a name could not do that. Jesus and Jesus alone could bring grace to this world. Can you say amen? And note this as it pertains to the law. John tells us this as well. John said, truth came through Jesus. Can you say amen? Very quickly, we are, as Adventists, in conversations to say, we have the truth. And we base that upon the seventh-day Sabbath commandment. But friends, Jesus teaches us how to keep the Sabbath. Can you say amen? Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Can you say amen? And we are not saved by our Sabbath keeping, but we are saved by the Sabbath keeping of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen today? You see, John tells us that Jesus is the recipe, that Jesus is the source of every good and perfect gift, and it is through Jesus that not only we receive grace, but the truth of how to live and love in God's law. Now, when Jesus came to our earth with grace and truth, note this, the Holy Spirit at his baptism came down from heaven and descended upon him like a dove. And when the Holy Spirit gave credence and credulity to the ministry of Jesus Christ by descending upon him, Scripture then tells us that a voice similar to that as which rung out at Mount Sinai came down from heaven. And God himself spoke to everyone in attendance, and God said, this is my son. Do what, everyone? Hear him. Listen to him. You know, friends, today some of us don't know why we can't hear the voice of God, and I believe it's because we haven't first listened to his son. Have you ever heard the expression, talk to the hand? God is saying, you better go talk to my son. You better go listen to what he says. You better live like he lived and love like he loved. You better forgive as he forgave. You better understand the law through his life and his living of it. Can you say amen? Because some of us don't know the heart of God's message, nor ours, because we have not listened to his son. This is why Paul said to the church in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, Paul said, not only do I not want you to follow things that are false, but I don't want you to follow endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith to do so. Again, Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Paul says, I want you as a church to avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. What, Paul, is profitable and useless? Jesus Christ as the main ingredient. Can you say amen? You see, what is so significant about this book in your hands and in your possession is that it's not simply a treatise on history. It's not a religious ideology. What makes this book so special is that there's a man inside the book. And when you read the book from Genesis to Revelation, a man begins to come out. He speaks to you. He assures you how much he loves you. He affirms to you that there's no expense he would spare to make sure that you're with him for all eternity. And every page, every jot, every tittle, every line speaks to the wondrous character and nature, the ministry of this man in our behalf. Can you say amen today? We need to hear Jesus, because in Jesus there is grace and truth. Can you say amen? But not only did the Holy Spirit, not only did the Father testify that Jesus is the main ingredient, but so did the apostles. And the apostles spoke to how the Spirit is received. We need to hear Jesus. We need to teach Jesus. We need to preach Jesus. We need to talk Jesus. We need to sing Jesus. We need to live Jesus. And when we do, something spectacular happens. John speaks to us about what happened when the former rain or Pentecost fell upon the church. In John chapter 7, verse 39, perhaps what is the most overlooked verse in the New Testament, John tells us the secret to receiving the Holy Spirit. John tells us why Pentecost came. When Jesus was talking about streams of living water flowing from outside of us, John does exposition, he does commentary on what Jesus meant, and John says this, that when Jesus said, out of those who believe on him, streams of living water will flow, John says, this Jesus spoke of the what, everyone? The Spirit, which they that do what? Believe on Jesus should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because why? Help me out. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. We glorify what we give our time to. We glorify what we spend our time talking about. We glorify what we teach. That's why we say, when we look at Hollywood movies, even if it has an action hero who's truing the right thing, if he's shooting guns, we say, Hollywood is glorifying guns, right? Whatever we give our time to is what we glorify. And this is why. We've got to stop giving the Pope FaceTime. Amen? We have to stop talking about martial law. Amen? We can't focus about when to leave the cities and go to the villages. We need to focus on Jesus, and Jesus will take care of the rest. Can you say amen today? And not only will he take care of the rest, John says, he will pour out the Holy Spirit upon us, and the latter rain will fall. We say silly stuff, Like those evangelical churches are doing so well because they've compromised. They've got drums and guitars. No, they have no other message but Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can't help to bless them. Speak Jesus. Teach Jesus. Sing Jesus. Live Jesus. And you'll see us finish this work like no other age in history. Can you say amen today? You see, Jesus is the recipe, and Jesus is the main ingredient. But if Jesus is the main ingredient, the question is, what do we do with the main ingredient? Do we shake it? Do we stir it? Do we bake it? Do we microwave it? Do we blend it? Here's what John tells us in John 15. John says we take the main ingredient and we abide in it. Can you say amen today? Watch what John says in John 15, verse 4 and 5. As Jesus speaks to us, Jesus first gave us the main ingredient, and the main ingredient is himself. Now the recipe is how we use that main ingredient. And Jesus teaches us this in John 15 and verse 4. These are the words of Christ. Jesus says in John 15, verse 4 and 5, read that with me. Jesus says what? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus goes on in John chapter 15, verse 6. He says, if a woman or a man does not abide with me, she is thrown away like a pruned, shriveled up branch, and they gather it, throwing it into the fire. John 15, verse 7, Jesus goes on, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you will ask what your heart desires, and it shall be done for you. John 15, verse 9, Jesus goes on, as the Father has loved me, even you with all of your sins, so I love you. So Jesus says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall what? Abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments, and do what? Abide in his love. And what is the commandment of Jesus? He says this. This is my commandment, that you do what? Love one another as I have loved you. Can you say amen today? So Jesus tells us that he is the main ingredient, and Jesus gives us the recipe, and he says this, I want you to abide in me. I want you to receive my forgiveness each and every day. Share that forgiveness in love with other people and watch that love transform the world. Can you say amen today? Now, friends of mine, when God in the Bible says something three times, it's eternal. When the Holy Spirit, through inspiration, causes a writer to write something seven times, it is deeply spiritual. But when the Son of God says something 10 times in one chapter, it is the recipe. Are you following me today? And because I know it's the recipe, Jesus confirms it for us in John 15, 11. Jesus says, the whole reason I said this 10 times in one chapter, the whole reason I tell you to abide in me, is that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be what? Complete. Friends of mine, if you see Seventh-day Adventists or Seventh-day Madventists walking around, you can be sure it's because they do not have an abiding connection to the living Christ. You can be sure it's because they are hungry. They've gotten slices of bread, but they do not have the recipe. We've got to give one another We've got to give our children. We've got to give the world the recipe. Are you with me today? And when we give people the recipe, we don't go hungry in our homes. We don't go hungry in our marriages. We don't go hungry in our ministry. We don't go hungry in our finance. And whatever it is we may face in this world, like Paul and Silas in prison, we can endure it because we are abiding in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Pastor Shane, my son is in jail. Abide. Pastor Shane, my mother has cancer. Abide. Pastor Shane, I don't know if I'm gay or straight. Abide. Pastor Shane, I'm struggling with alcohol. Abide. Pastor Shane, my marriage is on the rocks. Abide. 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 You hold on to Jesus like Jacob wrestling with that angel, and you do not let him go until he shows up and blesses you. Can you say amen to that? That's the recipe. Jesus says, if you come to me, I won't let you go. I won't cast you out. I won't turn you down. I won't turn you away. You hold on to me and you abide in faith. Can you say amen today? Now, knowing that from our pulpits and from our ministries, we've been giving people bread, which is true and good, and nourishes them for a small time until they start to starve. The theological seminary realized that it is producing pastors that are not spiritual, not connected to the living God and not filled with the Holy Spirit. So our seminaries all over the country and all over the world began teaching pastors to pray, to connect with the living God, so that it's not their words that are spoken, but God is being a conduit who is speaking through them. And in the seminary, the very first class you go to is spiritual formation. In that class, they teach you. Doesn't matter how good your sermons are. Doesn't matter how good of an administrator you are. Doesn't matter how charismatic you are. If you don't have a living, abiding connection to Jesus Christ, your ministry is going to fail and you're going to do other people a disservice. They teach us you have to pray and pray and pray and pray. And not even the same prayers, but different prayers. You have to focus on meditating on God's word and putting Jesus Christ in your mind. You have to abide in Jesus, and Jesus has to live in you. They did a study and they discovered that many pastors, most pastors, the only time they read their Bible is to prepare a sermon, and the only time they pray is when they're about to face the congregation. So they said, we need you to be spiritual if you're going to finish this work. And as they taught pastors to pray, here's what happened. Some folks who got nervous, they swooped in, and they said, wait a second. They're teaching people spiritual formation. They're teaching people to meditate on God's word. They're teaching people to contemplate about Jesus in their prayers. And contemplative prayer is a part of their doctrine. These are elements of New Age spiritualism, and that's what's being taught in our schools to our young pastors. You've heard the controversy, haven't you? Do you know, beloved, who was the first Seventh-day Adventist to teach contemplative prayer? Do you know who the first was? Her name was Ellen G. White. And she tells us in The Desire of Ages, page 83, that for all of us, it would be well to spend a thoughtful how much? Hour each day in what? Contemplation of the life of Jesus Christ. She says we should take it point by point and lecture. What did she say? Oh, she said, imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones. And as we thus do what? Dwell upon his great sacrifice for us. Our confidence will be more constant. Our what? Our love will be quickened, and we will be more deeply what? The latter rain will pour out. Can you say amen today? Friends, we don't have to be so afraid of everything. The only thing we need to be afraid of is not having a living, abiding connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The only thing we have to be afraid of is not having the recipe. Are you with me today? You see, Satan works in a specific way, in the world and in the church. And Ellen White says, this is the explicit purpose, objective, and mission of Satan. In her messages to young people, which is the most valuable resource we have in our church, she says to young people, young adults, young children, she says, Satan wants to discourage the followers of Christ so that they don't pray or study the scriptures. And how does Satan get us to not pray and not study the scriptures? She says he throws his hateful shadow across the path to hide who, everybody? To hide Jesus from our view. You recall Jesus is the main ingredient. Can you say amen today? Satan does not want you to see Jesus. He wants you to see the Pope. He wants you to see martial law. He wants you to live in fear and apprehension. He wants you constantly watching to see when you should leave from the cities into the country. Just don't look at Jesus. She says it again. In Review and Herald, June 25, 1895, Satan, she says, has laid subtle plans to destroy man, and here is how he destroys you and I. It is his purpose to do what? To hide Jesus from our view. We need to speak Jesus, teach Jesus, talk Jesus, sing Jesus, uplift Jesus. Do evangelism about Jesus, cry to Jesus, meditate on Jesus. Whatever it is we can do to praise the name of Jesus, we need to do that. Can you say amen? You see, Jesus is unique in all the Godhead. Holy Spirit and Father are fully God, but Jesus, He's fully man, He's fully God. Fully prophet, fully priest. Fully conquering king, fully burning bush, fully rock that Moses struck twice, fully the cloud that they were baptized in the wilderness. In Jesus, all roads connect. In Jesus, all things consist and have their being. Jesus, there is no other name under heaven by which men are saved. Can you say amen? The main ingredient, and Jesus, beloved, is the recipe. Here is the recipe. Here is the recipe for abundant life, no matter where you are in your life. It is this. It is time alone each day in contemplation of Jesus Christ's life, either through His Word, either through prayer, either through reflection, either through meditation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Can you say amen today? But Pastor Shane, does the recipe work? Does it produce? The Bible tells us it does. Specifically for one man who used the recipe, we know his name is Enoch. The Bible tells us in Desire of Ages, page 668, that if you come to Jesus Christ in faith, meaning you know Jesus is more than an ideology or a philosophy or a religious treatise, but if you trust that He's a risen Lord who's at the right hand of the Father, who has ascended and speaks to you right now, she says He will speak back to you. Can you say amen? He will speak back to you. That's what prayer is for. And as He speaks back to you, our hearts will burn within us as one draws near to commune with us as He did with who, everybody? Enoch. You know that dear old fellow, Enoch. He comes into the Bible and is out just as quick. And the Bible tells us about Enoch that he was so close to the Lord Jesus Christ. He abode with Him in such an intricate, intimate way. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, that Enoch walked with God and he was not because God took him. Can you say amen? We don't believe in a secret rapture, and it wasn't secret, but friends of mine, you get close to Jesus, He's going to pluck you out. Amen? Jesus said to Enoch, we're so close, man, you don't even belong. Just come stay at my place. Come on. Come on. We'll stay up all night, have a slumber party, and kick it. We need to abide. We need to have the recipe. We need to have faith as Enoch had. And the faith we see described is that in Hebrews. It says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he was pleasing to God. What pleases God? When we glorify his Son. God says, listen to him, or I'm not going to hear you. The Holy Spirit says, lift him up, or I'm not going to show up. Jesus is the main ingredient, and Jesus is the recipe. Can you say amen today? Here's our homework, beloved, before we go our separate ways. Our homework today, for those of us who know the main ingredient, and for those of us who now know the recipe, I need you to put it into action. I need you to taste and see that the Lord is good. Can you say amen? Amen. David said, how happy is the woman who takes refuge in or abides in Jesus. Can you say amen today? We have to come to a greater level of passionate spirituality in our Chandler Seventh-day Adventist Church. And it starts by all of us as a church abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Practical thing that we can do for all of us who have these smartphones. Is your phone smart? If it's smart, it should have on it a timer and a clock. For all of you who have that smartphone and that clock, it has an alarm, right? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to set your alarm 3 times a day. And 3 times a day when that alarm goes off, wherever you are, at work, in the mall, hanging out, watching TV, that means it's time to go spend time with Jesus. Amen. When that alarm goes off, it's time to go focus on Christ. And I want you to take that time and I want you to pray. I want you to pray for your family. I want you to pray for your marriages. I want you to pray for your future. I want you to pray for our church. I want you to pray for Jesus' name to be exalted in all the earth and in our church so the Holy Spirit can pour out. Can you say amen? Amen. I want you to take that smartphone and make it smarter. Set it to go off. And when it goes off, it's time to connect with the Lord. Amen. And that's going to prime the pump for us growing in the grace and the knowledge. It's going to prime the pump for us getting deeper and deeper into Jesus Christ, meditating on Him, focusing on Him. And by the way, meditation's not a bad term. David says it all the time in the Scriptures, doesn't he? David says, oh Lord, I meditate on Your law day and night. He says that, doesn't he? Some people will say, well, they meditate in New Age spiritualism. In New Age spiritualism, they strongly advocate a vegetarian diet. Who's ready to give that up because they do that there? Don't let them take from us what was originally ours. Amen? You attune your heart and your mind to Jesus Christ so that He can take you when He comes again. Amen? Friends of mine, as a church, as a family, as individuals, I don't want you to wait until January 1 to make your New Year's resolution. Let's start today. Now, today. In the busiest time of the year, a time of year that is supposed to be focused on Jesus Christ, He is the thing that is farthest from our view. I want all of us to set these phones. You hear me? Let's do it. And let's become a praying church, a church that is powered by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? As a church, we need to draw nearer to the heart of God. Do you believe that today? And that starts with abiding in Jesus Christ.